Are you looking to find out how to stand out and how to break into this multifamily industry? You've come to the right place. Hayden Harrington just landed his first deal, and it was a big one. It was a 228-unit A-class syndicated deal in Houston. Listen as he shares what it takes to get your foot in the door and how you can add value as a new guy in this industry.
Before we jump into the intro, we recently launched a YouTube channel. Some people love podcasts and some people love videos. If you have interest in videos, check us out and subscribe on YouTube. Just look up Darren Batchelder in the search field or click the YouTube link on either the DarrenBatchelder.com website or on my Instagram bio. Now, on to the intro.
Welcome to Darren Batchelder's Real Estate Investing Show. Each week, you will learn how to grow your wealth through real estate investing, be introduced to the players that are getting it done, and learn how you can get involved. And now, here's your host, Darren Batchelder.
A little background on Hayden Harrington before we start the show. Hayden lives in the Dallas area. He is 26 years old and just landed his first multifamily deal, a 228-unit A-class deal in Houston. This guy understands that he needs to bring value to others, and he went out and found a way to do it. Now, on to the show. Hello, everyone. I am excited because we have a special guest here today. We have Hayden Harrington. Hayden, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Darren. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. So before we start, just a little bit on how I know Hayden. I've known of Hayden for a while through social media and through multifamily conferences and meetups and all that. But we hadn't met each other. And he ended up partnering with somebody that I knew well through my multifamily mentorship group, a gentleman by the name of Dustin Miles. And he actually was on the show episode number 20. And Hayden partnered up with him. They ended up getting into a deal. And they had another gentleman that I knew very well, John Montero, and highly respect both John and Dustin. And then I came on as part of the GP on that group. And so I got to know Hayden well through the whole process. So I'm excited for this conversation. Hayden, I typically start the conversation by how many properties and how many units, but this is your first deal. So
first deal,
and just give the listeners a little perspective on what your first deal looks like.
Yeah, so it was a little unconventional. It was 228 units built in 2012 for just over purchase price, just over $29 million. So yeah, very, very excited about it.
That's crazy. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Here's a guy who's 26 years old and his first deal is a $30 million A-class property in Houston. You know, a strong market. That's amazing. So, you know, the first thing I'd like to ask you is how did you and Dustin even come together? I mean, here you are, you don't have experience, and you end up partnering with a guy who, you know, is well regarded in the industry. He's done like 10 or 11 deals, syndicated deals. How'd you guys come together?
Yeah, it was a pretty long journey, actually. You know, actually prior to meeting Dustin, I think it was important because, you know, I was trying to get into the multifamily space any way I could. I was trying to understand how the game was played and so forth. And, you know, I'd met some people and, you know, the first thing that came to my mind, and I know it comes to many other people's minds, is, hey, you know, I'll work for free. Let me work for free. Let me just be around you. I want to see, you know, how deals are done. And strike up a partnership that way. And you'd really be amazed how many doors got closed at that offer. And so that had me rethink what is actual value to somebody who is experienced like Dustin, who's done 10 syndications. You know, just offering time for free was not valuable because, you know, in their minds, they would have to hold my hand and teach me everything. And so they're giving the value and not receiving any. And so it took a few, you know, failed relationships and closed doors for me to actually realize that. And, you know, here comes along Dustin, met him, you know, took him out to lunch too, because he was offering his time to sit down with me. So I bought him lunch and just, he was so kind to answer some of my questions and, you know, threw the idea out there because I had started to network around and see, understand how multifamily has played. And I realized that, you know, there was a lot of opportunity in networking events because the people that were putting on those events were the ones that were actually doing deals. And so I said, forget offering to work for free. That adds no value to somebody. I'm going to offer something different. And in my mind, when I asked that question, what is value to somebody that's experienced? And it's deals or capital. You know, that's the quickest way to speak a syndicator's language is either find deals or bring capital. And so I knew in my mind, you know, bringing a deal was going to be incredibly challenging because, you know, it's not like single family. These brokers essentially control the market, these big shops, and they want to know, hey, can you close? Do you have a track record? Are you in this market? And so they're not just going to hand somebody they've never heard of a sweet deal. It's just not going to happen. All the deals you find on Crexie and LoopNet, and those are deals that everybody's passed on. So I knew that would be a challenge. And so that's when I really focused on, okay, I want to try and find capital. Now, I didn't know a bunch of people, but I didn't want that to stop me either. So I said, okay, I can go out and find them. And so, you know, I'd known Dustin and I said, hey, what if we start a meetup together, you know, and kind of see where it goes. And I think it was kind of a right place, right time situation where, you know, Dustin had that idea in his mind already. And, you know, I just came along and said, let's try it, you know, and he took a massive chance on me because he said, yeah, let's test it out. He took a massive chance on me and I knew that. And in my mind, I was like, he is staking his reputation on whatever we're doing together. So I know I need to, you know, put the highest quality content out there, put the highest quality experience for people. And that's really, you know, how it all started was just, we tried out a networking event and, you know, went from there. The networking event grew into a partnership. We started underwriting deals together. You know, I like to say multifamily is marriage. You're not only married to your properties, but you're also married to your partners. And so that early stage, kind of like the dating stage, trying to understand how do you work together? What skills do you have? You know, how does everything fit together? Who focuses on what and stuff like that. And, you know, I was really good at marketing and branding. That's what I really like to do. Dustin was very, you know, numbers oriented. He's an engineer by trade. So he loves dialing in deals, figuring out how to make deals work. And together we just had some complementary skills. And that's ultimately, you know, what allowed this deal to come into fruition.
Wow. That is awesome. You are the first young guy. Okay. So you're 26, I'm 50. So you're like half my age, but you're the first young guy that I've met that pivoted. You know, most people start out saying exactly the same thing. And I get DMs all the time, you know, on Instagram. And I get on the phone with people and I meet a lot of young people. They want to get into the space and so many of them say the exact same thing that you were saying, you know, I'll work for free. You know, what can I do? Like, you know, I'll underwrite deals and I pass, you know, because this market is extremely competitive. And so if I'm going after a deal, I'm looking to partner with somebody that has more experience than me. Right. And because I want to get selected. And so, and I don't really want to handhold somebody that's completely new. I'm happy to help provide, you know, guidance and strategic, you know, advice. And I love to help people, but, you know, I don't really want to be a day in and day out coach. But you're the first person that said, hey, what can I do differently? And the meetup was a great idea, an awesome idea. And so for the young listeners out there, look, there's people that are listening all over the country. You don't have to be in the Texas market like we are. And you could take Hayden's, you know, what he did and go out and do that same thing. Because, look, I talk to a lot of young people and people that are older that are trying to chase their first deal. And a lot of them, you could hear it in their voice. They don't feel worthy. They don't feel like they have any value to offer. And you believed in yourself enough that you said, all right, I'm not going to be able to do it this way, but I can add value in this other way. That is awesome. I applaud you. How did you and Dustin even meet?
Yeah. So crazy story. I was just trying to network around. There was an app just for networking with professionals, kind of like LinkedIn. I think it was called Shaper, and you know, we connected on that. And then I just said, hey, you know, let me take you out to lunch. I'd love to just pick your brain. And yeah, that's how it all happened. I think we had lunch two times. You know, he introduced me to Kenny Wolf. I'm sure
yeah,
many of your listeners
guy.
May be familiar with too. I've talked to Kenny, and you know, ultimately it turned into a partnership. It's crazy. And the ironic thing is too, I ended up working for free for a long time. Anyways, you know, but I was offering value along the way, right? And like you said, you know, many people just keep offering that same thing over and over and over again, never change right. their approach. And, you know, that's the definition of insanity, right? You do the same thing, expecting a different result. You know, after a couple, you know, obviously after the first setback, you may not want to change your approach, but the second, third, fourth times, you may want to consider, hey, maybe what I'm doing here isn't actually valuable in their eyes. Maybe I need to put myself in their shoes and look at it from a different perspective and then change my approach and figure out a different way.
Yeah, that's huge. So the points that you brought up earlier, you know, for value, you know, finding deals or finding capital, you know, I found that out pretty early in the process as well. I was trying to, hey, just be buddy-buddy with different people. Hey, you want me to be a partner? I'm a good guy. And you know, luckily I had somebody that said, you know what? You really need to either bring the deal or bring a ton of capital. And so that person, you know, because they said that, I pivoted and I focused on finding the deal. But you're the first person that I've heard that came up with another solution, which is extremely attractive. And you know, if people listen to other podcasts in the multifamily space, they know Joe Fairless. And you know, Joe will say in his book, well, you know, create a thought leadership platform. And, you know, that's what you did. You helped Dustin, you know, collectively, the two of you put together a thought leadership platform and have a meetup group and a website and branding, and just very intelligent. So great job. That's amazing. What did you do before you got into multifamily?
At the
ripe old age of 26.
So I've been in real estate for a long time. You know, growing up with my dad, we had, you know, it was kind of like every year we'd get a new rental, a new fixer flip project. And he was an engineer too. And he always liked to figure things out, and he didn't trust contractors. So I was who he contracted to help with all the work. And so that really taught me the, you know, the ins and outs of, you know, what's behind the walls, what's under the floors, and how to do conversions, how to add value to a property, you know, like a 3-2 is more valuable than a 3-1, you know. So we did a lot of stuff like that together, but it really, you know, highlighted the risks involved with not having scale, because, you know, I got to see firsthand, you know, we had tenants that would just get up in the middle of the night and leave, and then you're 100% occupied and 0% overnight.
Right.
And then now you got to scramble and all that, which is fun. And, you know, we had tenants that would steal stuff and just cause, you know, call us for the most minor things. And it was just a headache. You know, I believe you can absolutely do well in single family in any aspect of real estate, but it just wasn't for me. So that's kind of what planted the seed for a long time. And then
what age did you start doing that with your dad?
I was pretty young, in my teens, I'd say like, you know, 15, 16, started doing that. And you know, I still help him with that. Every time I go down to Houston and see him, he's got a project that he needs another helping hand, with. So
how many deals does he have single family wise?
He's got right now, about five, right now. And he's sold a few in the past and stuff like that. He just picked up, two additional rentals. One is kind of turnkey and one was, needed some value add to it. But, that's kind of what taught me the ins and outs and then, and kind of planted the seed for real estate that eventually grew. Out of college, I started a nutrition company actually, which is what brought me up to Dallas. And that's really where I got my marketing and branding skills, you could say, and really love for that sort of side of the business because, frankly, couldn't afford to pay designers when we initially started that. We really bootstrapped it. So, really so taught me.
Where'd you go to college?
Went to UT Tyler. Left after about 2 years.
Okay. So you didn't graduate. You went 2 years and then you started your own company?
Yeah, correct. And you know, I was getting good grades and all that. I was on the dean's list, so it wasn't about the grades. But
I'm not here to judge you on your grades by any means. I'm just trying to understand the journey.
And it was, you know, the reason why I left was because it wasn't how I learned. And there was one class, and it's ironic because it was an economics class, but it was once a week. It was 3 hours from 6 to 9 at night. And, you know, the teacher, I'm a great teacher, but it just wasn't how I learned. It was PowerPoint presentations and really nothing more. And I was just sitting there and I'm saying, man, I'm going to cram for this test and I'm going to forget everything, you know, the next week. This is not for me. And I'm not passionate about that. That's not how I learn. I want to go off and use this time while I'm young to take risks, to go after what I want to do. Because I knew, you know, the longer I wait to do that, the harder it's going to be. The more liabilities I'm going to have, the more responsibilities I'm going to have. It just gets harder and harder and harder. So I said, you know what? I've got this dream. I'm going to go take a chance.
Awesome. So you left Tyler after 2 years. I'm assuming you moved in with mom and dad to save some money to start your company.
Yep. Moved in with my mom. Actually had plans to start that company out of my mom's garage, cleared it out, built racks and everything. You know, that was going to be our distribution warehouse.
Yep.
And did a final check up in Dallas with our manufacturer on the formulas and just to see the production line and everything. And they said, hey, can you stick around for a week, put a business plan together? I said, absolutely. And guys ended up liking the idea, liking the brand, liking us so much that ended up partnering.
Oh, wow.
And so awesome. 2 weeks later, they said, you know, how fast can you get up here? And so 2 weeks later, I was up in Dallas and got the cheapest place that I can find and probably the roughest part of Dallas and didn't know any better. But, you know, overnight we had warehouse space, we had distribution, we had contacts, our entire first production line was on consignment. So they fronted all of that. And so we got to pay it back as we went. And so, you know, that's how it was born. And, you know, within 8 months of dropping out, we had a product on the market.
Wow. So you leave, you're 26 now. And so how long did you have the nutrition company and you know, what was the success on that?
Yeah, I had it for a while, probably like 4 years or so.
4 years.
And
was there an exit on that?
Yeah, I left. I sold it to one of the other partners. And, you know, we were in about 90 stores across, I think, 8 different states in the Southeast. And, you know, it was a great business. And the thing that I took most from it was, you know, thinking about how do you differentiate yourself? Because in the nutrition market, you've got 1,000 competitors. And you've got this customer that walks in the store, how do you get them to pick you? And that's really the same approach that I took to real estate too. Because after I left that, you know, again, that seed had always been planted. That desire to go bigger was always there. And I said, okay, I'm going to full attention, like I'm going to figure this out. And, you know, I took that same approach. I wanted to understand A, how the game is played, and then B, how can I add value? How can I stand out? Just like, how do I get a customer to pick me up off the shelf and try me? It's the same thing. And that's really why we started a networking event and did something a little bit differently. Because frankly, I went around to a number of different events and they were all the same. And, you know, I was a little introverted and, you know, I wasn't that great at networking either. And I knew your network is your net worth, right? Especially in real estate. Like it's a relationship business, 100%. And I'd go to these local events, and typically they're at restaurants, and you sit down at the table and you get locked in your seat with two people right next to you and you don't move for the next hour and a half. And to me, I was like, this is a problem because I'm not meeting people quick enough to reach my goals. And I had pretty ambitious goals.
Right.
And so that's when the light bulb moment came on. I said, okay, if everybody's playing this game the same, I can come in and introduce a little bit different and see if we get traction. And I knew if we got traction, that's valuable. And so that's really what I then brought to Dustin. I said, hey, look, I've kind of gone around, I've done some research. I see, you know, some opportunity for improvement here that I think we can really stand out and create something together where A, I can add value to you. And I knew all along that my whole goal was to make Dustin look good. Because if I could make him look good, I know a little bit of that would rub off on me. And I didn't care so much about
so
that,
smart.
But I
so
knew
smart.
That would kind of be the byproduct of it, right?
So smart. What did you guys do that was different?
So first of all, we changed the setting. You know, that was the number one issue, right? Restaurants were noisy. And again, you get locked into that seat and it's just hard to network unless you're really, you know, an extrovert, you're really great at meeting people and moving around and talking, like you can do fine anywhere, but not everybody's like that. I wasn't, and essentially I was trying to solve the problem for myself. And I just kind of extrapolated the idea that maybe other people are struggling with this too. And, you know, so first of all, we changed the setting. We put them in, you know, Madison Title is a title company up here. That Dustin had actually worked with before. And he said, yeah, sure, come on in. We'll open up our offices after hours. We'll cater it. So you know, we have free food. That was another thing. It's like, you know, there was networking events every single night in Dallas in 2019. And, you know, I didn't want to go out and spend $20 every single night trying to meet people and buying all this food and stuff. So I was like, okay, again, it's all about the experience. It's all about the customer experience. It doesn't matter what business you're in. And so we took care of food. And then another big thing was handwriting, you know, because I knew everybody that came through that door is a potential lead. And the sign-in, the check-in process was really, really bad when I first got started because, you know, they typically just had a piece of paper and a pen with name tags. Nobody was standing there. It was just kind of on a table by itself. You had to check in. So first of all, half the people weren't even checking it, writing their name down. They were just writing the name tags down, right? And so already off the top, 50% of leads, you don't even know.
They're gone.
Exactly. And so we did a digital check-in that automatically, as soon as they typed their name in, was adding it to a CRM on the back end of our website. And so again, just little stuff like that we could build a list, makes the experience better for when they come, and then we can follow up with them and we know, hey, who you are, what you're looking to do, and all that stuff.
That's smart, man. It's smart.
Just little, you know, I think the little details make the biggest difference. I always say that.
It does. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, if people don't know you and they don't know what you're trying to achieve, how are they going to help you? You know, so,
exactly.
You know, touching more people and getting in front of more people is key in this space for sure. So young guy, very smart approach in terms of developing the relationship with Dustin. Help me understand your mindset. I mean, like I talk to so many people that are younger that again, I could hear it in their voice that they feel like they're not worthy. Like how did you have the confidence that you had value to offer?
Great question. Cause I don't know if I would say I necessarily had the confidence, because there were so many unknowns, but you know, I always say, I say to Dustin too, and I said to myself in the beginning, if I'm going to bet on anybody, I'm going to bet on me, you know? And I say that to Dustin and I say that internally now, if we're going to bet on anybody, let's bet on us, right? You know, I wanted to go for it. When I left college, I don't think I read a book cover to cover up to college. And then when I left, I was like, oh crap, now I got to actually start learning about, you know, what I want to do. And that sparked an interest in reading and personal development. And, you know, I was finishing a book at least every other week, maybe even each week, you know, reading 50, 60 books a year. And, you know, that really sparked an interest in personal development and understanding, you know, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And stuff like that. And really started, you know, just to believe in myself, say, hey, if I'm here, you know, I don't want to spend my life doing something that I'm not passionate about. And I'll look back 50 years from now, 60 years from now and have regrets. So again, it was like, you know, I'm just going to go for it. I'm young. I can take risks and, you know, I don't want to get stuck down the road. And so just started to do a lot of personal development, a lot of reading. And I just, you know, kept telling myself and reinforcing this idea that if I'm going to bet on anybody, I'm going to bet on me. And I'm not going to look back. Because when we started the networking event with Dustin, this is kind of an interesting fact too. You know, growing up, I was always told, oh, why are you so shy? You know, why are you so quiet? That was always a massive limiting belief in my own mind because I always believed them. I always believed I was shy. I always believed I was so quiet. And so for the longest time, I never really let my, you know, voice out. I never voiced my opinion, you know? I didn't like getting in front of crowds. And I knew, I was like, if I'm going to start a networking event as a co-host of it, I'm going to have to get in front of people. I'm going to have to get, you know, break out of that shell. So that was an incredibly big move for me personally, just to overcome that that insecurity that I had for years and years and years up to that point. But again, yeah, you know, it was a goal. It was a dream. And, you know, the fear of regret far outweighed the fear of failure. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to try it. I do not care how badly this goes. I'm going to do it. I probably rehearsed the intro about 1,000 times and I still screwed it up, but, you know, stumbled through it. And, you know, it's amazing the confidence that comes when you overcome a fear, when you overcome a limiting belief. And through the process of doing that, I look at fear like a lighthouse. You know, it's my guide to my highest self. It says, hey, if you want personal growth, go after what you fear, because that is the easiest way to identify limiting beliefs within yourself. And as soon as you start to chip away at them, that confidence really starts to build upon itself. And it's a snowball. You know, as soon as you start to get a little bit of traction, you get a little taste of that confidence, you know, it's addicting. You want more of it. You say, oh, you know, what other fears can I overcome here? Because I want to grow as an individual.
That was so awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So many good things. One, you know, you're reading the books. You know, I have a sophomore in college now at A&M and a senior in high school. And, you know, I've told both of them, like, you know, go to college, grow up. But, you know, when you go to work for somebody, always have in your mind how you're going to start your own company. And, you know, time will tell whether they do that or not. But the thing that, you know, I tell them is like, look, things change when you go off on your own. You start reading, not because you are told to, like, you know, kids are told they have to read and test stuff that they don't have any interest in. You know, some of it, look, communication is very important. So, like, you know, learning how to read and write is extremely important. And there's a lot of other classes that are important, but, like, there's, you know, for a kid going through school, whether it be high school or college, you're taking a lot of classes that you really don't care about. Mm-hmm. And when you get off on your own and you're passionate about something and you start reading about how to become a better you or how to, you know, implement, you know, something that you want to accomplish, it's completely different. You're learning because you have a personal desire to try to leverage knowledge from somebody else. So that's huge that you went through that. You talked about the limiting beliefs, you know, how I'm guessing it was family, friends, teachers, coaches, you know, all the above that kind of told you that you were, look, why are you so shy? You know, I've heard, I didn't go through this, but I've heard that people that are very heavy and they lose a bunch of weight and people are like, oh my gosh, you look fantastic. And it's still hard for that person to see themselves as fit and beautiful or strong, or because they have that limited belief in their mind, they still see themselves as being overweight or not worthy. So that's huge that you tested yourself and you came out on the other side. And not only did you accomplish that one feat, but then it drove you to want, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the next thing that I'm uncomfortable about that I could try to, you know, push past? That's huge, man.
Huge. Absolutely. I think we're here for a reason, and you know, there's always areas that we can continue to grow. And I promise, you know, once you get a taste of that personal growth, you'll definitely want more. It can be a snowball for bad, or it can be a snowball for good. It's really up to you. If you let that fear, if you let that insecurity paralyze you, it will be that snowball for bad, and it will do internal damage. But, you know, if you say, no, I want to take back control of my reality, of my experience. I don't want other people's opinions to influence how I live my life. You know, you can really get that snowball rolling for good. And it just shows you, you know, what you're capable of.
Completely agree. And I think that if you look back, you know, you can look back at some of those fears that you had and you're like, I got through that. And like, it's not even scary anymore. Like now, I don't know how many events that you guys have held, you know, at the meetup, but you know, you were scared, you know, you were rehearsing 1,000 times for that first one, but the second one and the third one and the fourth one, I imagine they got a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, thankfully the audience grew as well. It wasn't, you're starting, you know, you got to speak in front of 100 people, you know, it started small, which definitely helped. But just the confidence grew with practice, you know. Practice makes perfect, you know. It just gets easier and easier as you do it more and more. And again, it just reinforces that belief within yourself that you can do it. So that definitely helped. You know, the first one we had 20 people, then 40 and 60, then 100 plus from there. And that definitely helped me get a little bit more comfortable with the whole process. So if I would have had to start with 100, I don't know if I would have done it, but you know,
you would have, you know, and you would have stumbled in front of them, but then the next time you might've had 150 or 200, you know? So, look, it doesn't stop, you know, for the listener's benefit, you know, being uncomfortable does not stop, you know, you just got to push past that fear. I've been afraid of just weird things. I didn't grow up with social media and I didn't get involved with social media until 3 years ago. And, you know, I was going to a bunch of entrepreneurial conferences and they said, you got to get on Instagram. And I was like, what? I'm like, that's a toy app for my kids, right? And so I told my kids like, hey, can you help me with this? And I went and hired a consultant to teach me. And they were laughing at me like, Dad, you're going to get on Instagram, you know? And I was scared to hit post. Like, it's so silly. Like, it's like now I don't have any issue with it, but like, it's so silly to be so afraid. What are people going to think of me? You know? But then what happens is all of a sudden people contact me from, you know, all over the country. I'm having conversations with people that I never would have had conversations with had I not gotten uncomfortable and hit post, right? You know, starting the podcast. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. My kids will walk by my office when I was recording some stuff and they were laughing at me. And now I meet so many great people and I get to hear their journey. A lot of these people I already know, but I haven't had a long conversation to talk about their journey. Like, look, me and you just worked on that $30 million deal. I didn't know all this about you, you know? So yeah, I'm excited that I get to know more about people and hear how they overcome challenges. So it's fantastic. So talk to me about, like, were you the only child or did you have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister. She's about 18 months older than me. So we're pretty close.
Pretty close and kind of same entrepreneurial bent or?
Not really, to be honest. She's a nurse down in Houston. Really, honestly, I'm not really sure where it came from because my parents, they both had, you know, 9-to-5s. I never really saw it growing up. So honestly, not sure really where it came from. Yeah. I honestly couldn't tell you. Yeah.
Cause that was a risk leaving school. Right. And I have to imagine that there was some people that were chiming in saying, you're crazy. You're doing something dumb. Like you're going to regret this. Right. But you listen to, you know, your heart, you listen to your gut, you know, and it was something that you're feeling like just locked up and, you know, in a cage and you wanted to get out there. So you trusted yourself enough to take that chance.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I left for college, it was kind of an interesting family situation because my parents had just split. And so that's really when I said, you know, and it was kind of a rough split and my sister and I got put in the middle of it and stuff. But that's when I really said, okay, you know what? I'm gonna think for myself now moving forward. You know, I appreciate the input because there definitely was some of that, you know, you need to get back to school and finish and get your degree and all that. But, you know, it was just a kind of an interesting point of time where, you know, I didn't really rebel, but I just basically said, you know, I'm gonna go after what I want. You know, I appreciate the input, but now it's time for me to make decisions. And to create the kind of life that I want. So I wasn't taking as much of their input at that time, but I think that's probably what pushed me to start, you know, thinking a little bit differently. So, you know, who knows? It's, you know, I think you can find gratitude in everything. And that's something that I choose to put my focus on and be grateful for. And, you know, it's led to where I am today. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So listeners, you know, look, if this guy can do it, right? Anybody can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it, right? Mm-hmm. But there, you know, there are a few components, some things that I've heard over and over and over again from different successful people that you have to do. And one is you have to make a decision, like, and then you have to commit. And You did that. And I think there's a lot of people in the real estate investing world or ones that want to get in that say, I want to invest in real estate. But they haven't made the firm decision. Like, yes, I'm going to buy a single family rental this year, you know, in this market. And, or I'm going to do multifamily, you know, a 60 unit or 100 unit, or if you're Hayden Harrington, an A class $30 million, 228 unit deal in Houston. So you have to commit and believe in yourself or else it's just not going to happen. Just saying, I want to, nobody shows up at your door and just hands it to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. You know, I think it's Malcolm Gladwell. He's got the book Outliers. It was one of the books I read early on about the 10,000 hour rule. If you want to be an expert in your field, you know, that 10,000 hours kind of the proven mark that you need to hit. And so just doing simple math, if you only spend even an hour a day, right, that's going to take a decade. You know, it's going to take forever. And so I just kind of worked backwards from that. I said, okay, if I want to make this happen sooner, you know, how much time am I going to have to commit to this? And, you know, obviously if you spend all day, every day focused on that one goal, you're going to make it happen quicker than somebody else that has their attention pulled in multiple different directions and they haven't fully committed. Because I also like to picture it like thinking of like a racehorse, right? They put blinders on horses for a reason when they're trying to win a race. And that's because they don't want the horse wondering what anybody else is doing. What's my competition doing? What other shiny objects are around me, right? It's laser focused on that finish line, on that goal. And, you know, that's just what I kept in my mind. Those two visuals, that 10,000 hour, that magic number. And then also this idea of, you know, I got to put my blinders on. So I'm not worrying about what could go wrong. That was a huge one. I think too many people are paralyzed because they worry what could go wrong. And what other people are doing, what their peers are doing, especially my age, you know, wondering, oh, am I getting behind because everybody else is going off to college and getting degrees and they're going to start their careers, right? Am I going to get left behind? You know, you can't worry about those things. You just have to say, hey, this is my goal. I'm going to put my blinders on and I'm going to put in the time.
That's huge. So we didn't talk about it, but I'm sure that you had some sacrifices that you had to go through. You sold your company to a partner, so you probably had, you know, some cash, but then you had to live probably pretty, you know, meager to, because you didn't know how long it was going to take to actually be successful. That's another differentiator, you know, when somebody just makes a decision and they commit, you know, one of the sacrifices they may have to do is, you know, live below your means so that you can, you know, live better later. And that's difficult for a lot of people. You know, people get the bonus, they get the raise, they buy a nicer car, nicer house, nicer vacation. And then life just kind of pushes them through and they wonder why they don't have the money to get on the investment side. So talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of sacrifice you had to make once you sold your company.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, most people aren't willing, especially in this day and age, to delay that gratification. Everything's instant right now. Everything, right, you know, is at your fingertips. Everybody's got a smartphone. You can get the latest information, latest updates. So people are so used to having everything done for them right now. And so you've got to be able to delay that gratification. If the goal is big enough, you'll be willing you'll be willing to put in the time and effort required. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, you know, I was spending, you know, 30, 40 bucks a week for all my groceries, you know, portioning all my meals and doing all that just to maximize every dollar that I had. You know, I sold my car. And I drove my grandfather's old, you know, 15-year-old Jeep around for a few years. You know, you've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. It doesn't matter. You know, if you have that goal, you'll figure out a way to make it happen. And, you know, it did take some time. It did take a lot of sacrifice. But again, it just goes back to, do you really want it or not? Because if Right. you're not willing to make those sacrifices, you don't want it bad enough. You value your life, whatever level of lifestyle you currently have, you value that more than the goal itself. Because if you value the goal, you'll be willing to, you know, not value your current lifestyle quite as much, because you'll be able to, you know, make sacrifices where you need to in order to attain that goal.
Absolutely. And you know, most people just look at, you know, they're going to look at you now like, oh, here's a 26-year-old guy who just got a 228-unit deal. And man, it just was handed to him. How did, you know, he must be just good friends with Dustin and he just like can't. But no, like, look, you had a journey, man, and you were focused and, you know, and you pivoted. You know, people that start their own business, sometimes you leave, you start the business, and then you're going after that. And then all of a sudden something happens where you're like, you know what? This isn't working, but I see this other opportunity over here. If we pivot and we go here, we can make that a success. And had the person not started the company, they never would have had the opportunity. They never would have seen that opportunity. So, you know, you have to be willing to ride out some of the difficult times in the beginning because you have a greater goal. I mean, so that's fantastic. So what kind of deals do you guys go after? What markets are you focused on? What kind of deals are you underwriting today?
Yeah, good question. So we're based here in Dallas, DFW. I'm in Dallas, and then Dustin, my partner, he's over in Fort Worth. So obviously all of DFW is a pretty big focus. You know, I grew up in the Woodlands, which is a suburb of North Houston, so know that area pretty well. And we've started to find some value down there. Obviously, our recent acquisition is in Houston, and we were able to get a pretty good deal on it. And, you know, some people are afraid of Houston because of the zoning, or they're worried about flooding or any of these different things. But, you know, I spent almost 20 years down there growing up. So I understand that, you know, Houston's a great market. And so the cost of living is really affordable for people, especially when you compare it to a Dallas or an Austin. And some of the schools are incredible. So the education, it's a great place to raise your kids if you've got a family, because again, the cost of living combined with the education that you can provide for your kids is fantastic. So those are kind of the two main focuses right now. We are looking at Austin. We are looking at San Antonio. Everything we're looking at, first of all, is in Texas, but just a little bit harder down there in Austin. And we really like that first gen value add product. So, you know, your 1990s and newer, really, just based on where prices are in the marketplace for anybody that's, you know, underwriting deals or looking at multifamily properties, maybe you're in the space. You know, we really haven't seen any sort of pricing discount, you know, post 2020. We thought there was going to be one, but multifamily and industrial seem to be kind of the rising stars out of the pandemic. And as a result, there's been no discounts. So, you know, as a result, if you've got all your cap rates, whether you're buying an A-class property, a B or a C, it just makes a lot of sense to buy newer. If you can lower your risk by buying a better property, that you're not going to have as much deferred maintenance, you're not going to have as many issues, you're not going to have outdated systems, that makes a lot of sense in our minds. So really looking for that, you know, first gen value add. And what I mean by that is, you know, early 2000s, a lot of mid 2000s products, like the property we just bought, built in 2012, really has, you know, nobody's really put money into them because they really, frankly, haven't needed to. And so they cash in on all their equity that they've got built up. And then as a result, we can come in and do that first generation value add. You know, all the units are typically classic early 2000s, mid 2000s units. They're starting to get a little bit outdated, but the bones are good. And that's what we really like. You're not worried about, you know, cast iron pipes. You're not worried about a chiller that's running the whole property and stuff like that that could go out on you. You know, all the mechanicals are in great shape. You know, the way they're built are fantastic. And it's just a really light value add, and you can capitalize on that first gen value add and be able to push rents. And I think a lot of people are so focused on, you know, the B and C class because they think that's what a typical value add is, right? Most people, when they think value add, they don't think a newer property, but especially if you understand the story of the properties, I think that's a very important piece of that puzzle. If you go into that submarket, if you look at your competitors and there's a delta between where you are and where they are, there's opportunity to add value. It doesn't matter what vintage your property is, whether you're an A, B, or C. And so that's really kind of the sweet spot that we're looking for, is that value add on a newer product that's just kind of lagging where the market is.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, I've seen a lot of syndicators over the last, you know, two years, really start looking to trade up. So they were in BC and now they're looking at B plus, you know, A, and, you know, even some that are looking at, you know, ground up construction. So that, you know, sounds like a great focus, going forward. You know, one of the things that I didn't know I was going to see, but, you know, I guess consistent with me hanging out with you during the, you know, the deal. But you're a 26-year-old that just closed on a $30 million deal. yet your demeanor is very humble. Like, you're not pumping your chest like, you know, hey, I'm a 26-year-old that's gonna, you know, that's better than everybody. You know, you're, I don't know, you just come across humble and you're just sharing advice with people, good advice. And, no, I like that. And I'm sure that that's one of the characteristics that, you know, was attractive to Dustin, you know. In any event, hey, talk about working out. Has nothing to do with multifamily, but, you know, if you check out this guy's Instagram page, which is at HJ Harrington, you know, some of the early pictures that are on that page, like, you were a workout guy. I don't know if you still are, but.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I was, you know, I played baseball all my life. And when I got out of that and
what position?
Into college, I was an outfielder. So, you know, I was still competitive. And so after I got done with that, you know, I was still in the gym every day. You know, I did a couple, you know, bodybuilding shows and stuff like that. And that's really where, again, my light bulb moment kind of came off with the nutrition company. It wasn't just because one day I got this random idea to start a nutrition company. It's because I saw a problem that I think, you know, I could have solved. And that problem was, you know, I was taking, you know, pre-workouts and, you know, I'm sensitive to some of the ingredients in some of those products. And unfortunately, manufacturers, especially back in the day, they would wrap everything into a proprietary blend and you could never tell how much of each ingredient you were actually taking. It's a way to kind of disguise how much of each they're putting in there so that they could have a low cost and bigger margins. Because there was a tendency to do what's called pixie dusting, which is just sprinkle ingredients in there in low quantities so you could have it on the label. And so, you know, unfortunately, I was having these reactions. And I was like, man, I need to know how much I'm taking of these ingredients, because obviously I'm having a reaction. And so that's really where that idea, because I looked around again, like it's not a complicated formula. It's just looking around in the marketplace and seeing how you can add value. It doesn't really matter what the business is, whether it's real estate, supplements, so on. You've got to find ways to stand out. And so that's really where the idea came from, to start a brand with the premise of no proprietary blends. We are full disclosure, full transparency products. You know, it should be treated just like a pharmaceutical, where you know exactly how many milligrams of each ingredient you're taking and so forth. So, so yeah, I was real big into it back in the day, but that's kind of where that idea was born from again. And, you know, what I'd like to kind of convey to your listeners is there's really no secret formula to any of this. It doesn't matter what that goal is. It's just a question of, you know, what's your goal and how can you add value? You know, that's it.
That's huge. And when you talked about building that product, you know, I mentioned I go to a lot of different entrepreneurial conferences and I've heard, you know, look, there's people think that they have to create the one business idea that hasn't been thought of and create, you know, that one unique thing. And if they can't come up with that one unique thing, then they're just not going to start their own company. But the reality is most companies are formed just to do it a little better. You know, either have better ingredients, have better customer service, have better packaging, have better distribution. Like, it's a lot of the same stuff, but just minor tweaks to fulfill a problem, you know, and solve a problem. And so you did that just naturally, which is incredible. So that's fantastic. So what is your next big stretch goal, man? Where do you go from here?
The next goal is to keep going. You know, our goal is to do a deal a quarter. That's really what we're shooting for. So we don't necessarily have, you know, a unit count that we're targeting or a certain, you know, assets under management goal. But, you know, a deal a quarter, we want the pipeline full. We want to continue to grow the portfolio. And then strategically grow so that we can, you know, create a company around it and, you know, start to put asset managers in certain locations and certain markets that we're focused on and continue to grow from there. That's the real focus. You know, not necessarily focused on, you know, the money or whatever, because I think that's a byproduct of when you really pursue your passion, that's just a natural byproduct of it. We're focused on, you know, the reason why I love multifamily to begin with is it offers you the opportunity to add value to so many people's lives, to your partners, first of all, you know, to employees that work at the properties, to the tenants that live there, through providing enhancement to the communities, through your investors, allowing them to achieve financial freedom and the life that they wish to have. So it's an incredible vehicle and offers you so many avenues to add value to people's lives. So that's really what I'm focused on, is just continuing to do that and continuing to go out and get more acquisitions so that we can add value to people's lives.
Yeah, that's awesome. That you know, one of those components is kind of a piece that got me charged up is in my other business, all the profit flows down to me and my family. But in these syndications, what I love is, look, we're involved at the GP level and we're implementing a business plan. And, you know, whether it's 2 years or 3 years or 5 years down the road, we have some kind of exit strategy, whether that be a cash out refi or a sale. And, you know, there's a hurdle that we benefit financially from that. But all the investors that we brought along with us, the limited partners, all those families, we've just helped grow their wealth. And they all have different needs. You know, some of them need a new car. Some are about to send their kids to college. Some want to go on a nice vacation. And some just want to keep growing, you know, the nest egg. So that to me, you know, at my stage of life has really got me charged up that it's a way to give back. It's a way to serve others. And for you to see it at your age is incredible. Outside of work, what do you like to do? You still work out? What do you like to, what do you enjoy?
Yeah, you know, some of my kind of non-negotiables are, you know, every morning I get up, go to the gym, got to get active, get the body moving, love to read. So still reading pretty much every day. You know, love to hike. You know, last year, you know, Dustin loves to hike too. We always venture all around Dallas together, and we've gone to, you know, Colorado and hiked around Colorado.
Awesome.
So love just kind of getting outside, enjoying the outdoors and stuff like that for sure.
Fantastic. So what's the name of the company that you and Dustin put together?
So it's called Momentum Multifamily.
And the website probably has a unique name.
Yeah. Yeah. Super creative. It's just momentummultifamily.com. So,
.com. Just add .com right. To it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very complicated.
there we go. So, if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way to reach out?
Yeah. Happy to connect, via email. You know, the cool thing about this business is, again, it's, you kind of have to have somebody help you in, but you get to offer, you know, that in return to other people. You know, Dustin's doing that for me. It's something I want to continue to do for others as well. So, you know, if he wouldn't have taken the time to answer my questions, I wouldn't be here today. So, you know, always happy to answer questions. You can shoot me an email at Hayden@MomentumMultifamily.com.
Fantastic. And from talking to Dustin, it sounded like you guys had other resources on that website, free resources for people. Can you just share with the listeners what people can learn from just by going to that website?
Yeah, absolutely. We're constantly trying to do, you know, educational events, and those recordings will end up on our website. We got a resources tab at the top. If you visit the site, we've got different tools, whether you're an experienced multifamily syndicator or just learning. You know, we've got a cap rate calculator on there, which is a very cool tool where it essentially compiles last decade of cap rate data for all the major metros across the country. And you can track that compression over time, compression or expansion, I should say, over time in these different markets. So we've got a couple.
So you can go to any state in the country and use that?
Pretty much, yeah. It's based on all the major metros that CBRE would track every year. So All the major markets across the country are pretty much involved in that tool. It was about 4,500 data points over 9 or 10 years that are compiled into that tool. So it's pretty cool just to be able to track the compression in different markets. And that actually helped us, that tool itself helped us settle on Houston because we saw the most opportunity in that market out of the four major Texas metros. So highly recommend anybody to check that out and play around with it.
Awesome. Awesome. So, look, listeners, you guys should check out Dustin and Hayden at MomentumMultifamily.com. I've known Dustin for a long time. Another guy that was part of the deal, John Montero, very, very good guy. And I'm so glad to have gotten to know Hayden. And look, during the process, I'm just going to, you know, pat his back a little bit. He was just, he kind of fulfilled the, you know, all the marketing, the investment deck and the presentations. And he's also focused on like the after, you know, closing, all the communication. And it's just coming off extremely professional. And so these guys are good people to know. And he's got a good heart for wanting to share and help people. So definitely think about reaching out to these guys, and look forward to working with you guys again, hopefully. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed that one. Till next week, signing off.
Thank you for listening to Darren Batchelder's Real Estate Investing Show at darrenbatchelder.com. If you liked the episode, please provide us with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast platform of choice. If you already provided us with a 5-star review, then thank you, and please share the show with a friend.